الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Today, inshallah, we want to do part two. Last session, we looked at this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mumit, the one who gives death. And we should try to live such a life that we can die a good death. In this month of Ramadan, which is the month of Rahmat of Allah ta'ala, where we make so many du'as to Allah ta'ala, one dua that is very important that we should be making in this month, and that dua is that, O Allah, we ask you for that tawfiq that we can live such a life where we can die a good death. We can have a good, happy, successful ending. We can die with the kalima intact on our tongue. Like you say in English, that all is well that ends well. So all is well that ends well. And that's what the Prophet also said, that kama ta'ishuna tamutun, that the way in which you live your life, in that same condition you will also die your death. So our mashayikh and ulama, they have mentioned 10 things. They've mentioned 10 points, 10 actions, that if you can be cautious about these, if you can have fikr about these 10 things, then inshallah, when the time comes for us to leave, we can also have a successful ending. And one of the ways we can understand this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Mumit, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the giver of death, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us a good death, a good ending, a successful ending, if you're careful about these 10 things. So inshallah, we want to speak about those 10 in today's gathering. And these are very important points to remember. And that's why we felt that even though it's part two, but this is a very important topic that, especially in this month of Ramadan, we should all have this fikr and concern that how can I live such a life where I can get this tawfiq to die a good death, right? If our ending is well, if you have a good ending, then inshallah everything else will be well as well. So there are going to be 10 points, 10 amal that we want to mention. We're going to start with one amal which is perhaps the most difficult of this list. And that is that one of the things which helps a person to die a good death is the ability to control their gaze. Is the ability to control their gaze. That person who's not able to control their gaze, this is something which is detrimental for our iman. And one of the harms of this sin is that a person can lose the kalima in the last moment of their life. It's not something which is small. This is a very big amal and a big sin, that when a person, they look at someone with that gaze of love or desire which is reserved only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person can be deprived of this muhabbat of Allah in return. The reason why this is so is because this pertains to the ghairat of Allah. This word, this ghaira, which means protective jealousy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who has ghaira. The way you can understand this word ghaira is, think about a husband-wife relationship. If a husband is not that well off and he has a very simple, humble living, And his wife, she lives with him, and she also has to live that life of hardship and difficulty. They don't have anything, they don't have much to eat, they don't have any fancy clothing, and whatever they have, very simple, they're just leading and living their life. And the wife, she would be happy and she's fine with that living. But if her husband one day he looks at someone else, some other woman, with that gaze of longing and love, then this wife, she will never be able to tolerate that. Right? Her ghairat, right? Her jealousy, her ghaira would be activated, and she would say that I can withstand all of this simple living, this fakir, this famine, this less food, and all of that is fine, but this is something which I cannot tolerate. So in the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tolerate that a person puts that gaze on someone else and they fill their heart with ghairullah, with someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this muhabbat is a relationship which is a very sensitive, a very delicate relationship, because in muhabbat there is this element of ghaira, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most ghairat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most ghaira. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate this sin of shirk. Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah, he once said that I learned tawheed from my neighbor, and someone asked him that how come. He said that it was a hot summer night and I was sleeping on my roof, and I could hear that in my the house, the neighboring house, there was some dispute that occurred between husband and wife, and I could hear their sound, their voices. So I heard that the wife, she was saying to her husband that, you know, there is hunger in our house, there is thirst, there is difficulty, but I'm willing to withstand all of that for your sake, but I cannot tolerate the fact that you look at someone else with that gaze of love. This is something which I cannot tolerate. And then Hasan Basri rahmatullah says that I looked at the Quran in front of me, and my gaze fell upon this ayat when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushrika bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalik liman yasha. Allah says that, O my servants, that whatever sins you bring to me, I can forgive all of them. But if you make someone sharik in this muhabbat, in my muhabbat, then this is something which I will not be able to forgive. Yani in qiyamah, if a person doesn't make tawbah before this, then this is something which a person may not be. Allah says that I can forgive every single sin, but not this one. So this is the reason why we should try to control our gaze. And in one hadith, the Prophet said that whoever leaves this sin out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, this is important, that many times we leave this sin because of humiliation or embarrassment or shame or other intentions. But what is mentioned in this hadith is that one who controls their gaze out of this khawf of Allah, this fear of Allah, then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that person with imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi. Allah will give that person such an iman that they will be able to feel the sweetness of that iman in their heart. So I said this is a very difficult thing for a person to do, control their gaze, but look at the inam, look at the blessing that a person is getting. Then in return, Allah will bless with the sweetness of iman. And then one very famous muhaddith by the name of Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah, he in commentary of this hadith, he adds something even more interesting. He said that when this halawat-e-iman, when a person, when the sweetness of iman enters the heart of a person, then la takhruju minhu abada, it never leaves that person's heart. Once this sweetness enters the heart, the sweetness of iman that never leaves that person's heart. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I create this sweetness of iman in their heart, the meaning is that now this person, when he dies, when she dies, their iman will be protected. They will be able to die in a state of iman, and they will have a good, successful ending. So this is a very, like I said, it's a difficult, but it's a beautiful strategy, that if we can control our gaze, and this is something, you know, we are almost every day, we have this prescription, we can use this prescription, it's being distributed for free, right, in the bazaar, in the grocery stores, in our university, in our workplace, right? We just have to control our gaze, and whoever can control their gaze, they will get this halawat-e iman, plus they will have this beautiful ending. And the Prophet ﷺ is guaranteeing both of these things, right? You'll have what you call halawat comes from halwa, right? Halwa imani, right? Control this gaze and you'll be able to get the sweetness of this halwa, this halawat-e iman. So one of the things we can try, inshallah, in this month is to control our gaze. And inshallah, in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us this halawat, the sweetness of iman. Plus, this is also a guarantee that a person will die in a state of iman. So that's number one. Then, the second amal, or the second action, which ensures that a person has a beautiful ending, they die in a state of iman, is to have a habit of regularly using miswak. To regularly use miswak. This is something which was the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And if a person prays their salah having done miswak, then the ajr increases. Allah loves that amal. And this miswak was so beloved to the Prophet ﷺ that he said that if I did not fear difficulty for my ummah, then I would have made miswak a shart, a condition, a necessary condition for a wudu. It's not a necessary condition, but the Prophet ﷺ wanted to highlight, emphasize, right, that this is so beloved to him. And in another riwayah it comes, the Prophet ﷺ said that miswak is matharatul lil fami. It's a way through which you can purify your mouth, wa maradatul li rabbi, and you can, it's a means to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a means through which a person can attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now one of the greatest blessings of miswak is this, that whoever, in one hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, that whoever has this habit of regularly using miswak, then when the time comes for that person to leave this world, and the Malikul Maut, the angels of death, they come to that person, so the Malikul Maut will drive away Shaitan from that person at that time, and they will remind this person of the Kalima. Subhanallah, right? This is such a beautiful favor, such a big, tremendous reward, that this person used to regularly do amal on the sunnat of miswak, and in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Malikul Maut at the time of death, and this Malikul Maut angel will drive away Shaitan, and the angel will remind this person to recite the kalma, that he will tell that, no, look, I'm here, now recite the kalma before I take your ruh, right? So subhanallah, one of the benefits then of miswak is that a person will be able to recite the kalima at the time of death. They will be reminded of the kalima, right? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we can do amal on this sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as well. Then the third amal, due to which a person can get the kalima at the time of their death, is to do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this ni'mat of iman that Allah has given us. In other words, to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala for blessing us with this ni'mat of iman. And the reason is because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has laid down a principle in the Quran, which is La in shakartum la azidannakum. That if you are grateful to my blessings, if you're grateful for my blessings, if you show gratitude, then la azidannakum, then zarur ba zarur. Right? We will definitely, surely increase you in those blessings. We'll give you even more of that blessing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of us this ni'mat of iman, right? And if we do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then oh Allah, truly Allah, we admit that this is one of the biggest ni'mat that you have given me. Allah, you're so merciful, you're so kind, you're so rahim and kareem, that even I didn't even want, we weren't even worthy of this. And Allah, you just raised up in a household where our parents were blessed with this iman, and we got this for free, right? We got this ni'mat of iman in the lap of our mother, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it. We didn't have to do any mushakkat. We didn't have to make any sacrifices for this iman. If you look at the early Muslims, the Sahaba Ikram, they made so many sacrifices to get this ni'mat of iman. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would be dragged on the desert, the desert sand of Arabia. And the unbelievers would put boulders, heavy boulders on his chest so that he couldn't even move. And even at that time, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would have this ahad, ahad, ahad on his tongue. Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was, when she brought iman, she was tortured by the people. And eventually she was tortured in such a painful way that she passed away. She got shahada, right? And she and her entire family, they were tortured by the unbelievers, and still they had this ni'mat of iman, and they had istiqamat on this iman. So if you want to sort of look at the stories of those of the early Muslims, they paid a very heavy price to get this ni'mat of iman. And compared to them, me and you know, this is the fazl of Allah, the rahmat of Allah, the big mercy of Allah, that we don't have to make any sacrifices, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just gave this iman, right? We opened our eyes, and our mother, she would be reciting the Quran. We grew, we became a bit older, and then our father, he picked up our finger, he took us to the masjid, and we heard the azan, we started praying inside the masjid. We got this ni'mat for free, right? So Allah has given us this big ni'mat. We should show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, surely if we were to put our sajda, if we were to put our forehead in sajda and praise you for this one ni'mat that you have given us, Allah, we can spend the entire life in sajda. We will not be able to thank you enough for this ni'mat of iman that you have given. That is how we should express, right, our shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That oh Allah, truly, Allah, I'm so razi with you, I'm so pleased with you, I'm so happy, Allah, that you have given me this ni'mat. One of the du'as the Prophet has actually taught us, which is a very beautiful du'a that we can use to express our gratitude and make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a du'a that you can make morning and evening. Raditu billahi rabba, that I'm razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as my Rabb. Wa bil Islami deena, and I'm razi with Islam as my deen. Wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alaihi wasallam nabiyya, and I'm razi, I'm pleased with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as my nabi. Any I'm razi, we express our raza, we express our happiness, our joy, that Allah, I'm so razi that you are my Rabb. I'm so razi, Allah, that you have given me this ni'mat of iman. Once there was a pious old man, and he was blessed with a lot of ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many ni'mat, and he became a bit fearful that lest maybe I'm getting all the reward in this world, in this dunya, right? That whatever nek amal that I'm doing, perhaps I'm getting everything here in this dunya, and in akhirah there'll be nothing left for me. So he became worried about himself. So he says that I reached a particular condition when I would say that Allah, I don't even want these ni'mat. Allah, you're giving me so much, so much, so much. I'm getting scared about myself. He started crying. And then one day he had this ajeeb kaifiyat in his heart. He said that, "Oh Allah, I'm making dua to you that Allah, I already have so many ni'matin. And Allah, I don't want all of these, but you're giving me even more and even more and even more." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an ilham on the heart of that person that, "Oh my beloved, oh my beloved friend, there is a principle, there is a rule, a law that we have. And that law is as follows, that whoever, any servant, whoever does shukr of my blessings, then I will increase the ni'mat of that person. So for as long as you will continue to do shukr of the ni'mat that you have, I will keep giving you more and more. These ni'mat can never end. These ni'mat will only increase for as long as you're going to do shukr of these ni'mat." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this ni'mat of iman, and we should do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mat. Then the fourth amal through which a person can get this ni'mat of iman intact at the time of death is that we should have a habit of spending sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani infaq fi sabilillah, that you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And right in Surah Baqarah, right at the very start, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is defining, mentioning the qualities of the muttaqeen, one of the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the muttaqeen is that yunfiqoon, right? They spend of that which is given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spending. And you know, this is the month of Ramadan. So Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions that when the month of Ramadan would start, I would notice three clear changes in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The first change was that the Prophet ﷺ would do even more ibadah in this month, would make a lot of mushakkat, took a lot of difficulty and hardship, but he would increase his ibadah in this month, much more than the previous month. And second change I would notice, she says, is that the Prophet ﷺ would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much more in this month, and with a lot of ajizi, with a lot of humility. And the third change she mentions is that the Prophet ﷺ would spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with both his hands, right? Like a passing wind which blows. In the same way, the Prophet ﷺ would also be spending left, right, and center, giving sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. So we should also try to have these three things in this month, try to increase them in this month of Ramadan. So sadaqah, right? So in this hadith mubarakah, the Prophet ﷺ said about sadaqah that inna sadaqata la tudfiu ghazaba rabbi wa tadfa'u an maitati su'i. That indeed, sadaqah is a means through which a person can remove the anger, extinguish the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with someone, by giving sadaqah, one can make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala razi. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with that individual. And secondly, وَتَدْفَعُ عَنْ مَيْتَةِ السُّوءِ, that by giving sadaqah, one can also remove a bad death. And a person can protect themselves from a bad ending by giving sadaqah. So sadaqah, I think all of us, we know, it prevents calamities in a person's life. So perhaps the greatest calamity would be to die a bad death. So this calamity is also removed when a person has a habit of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should spend, right, according to our own istita'at. It's, you know, if people don't, whatever is within our ability, we should have a habit of spending. And it doesn't really matter how much you spend, whether it's 10,000 or 1,000 or 100 or 500, it doesn't really matter. It's not the thing which counts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the niyat, the intention with which you're spending. The intention with which a person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many times a person doesn't have much to spend, But whatever they have, if they spend some portion of that in the path of Allah, then that spending becomes so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala makes that a means through which that person attains salvation from Akhirah, salvation from Jahannam. Then the fifth amal through which a person can get this kalma, ni'mat of kalma at the time of death, is to put ourselves in the company of Ahlullah, the Awliyaullah, the friends of Allah, the people of Allah, to put ourselves in their sohbah, to adopt their sohbah. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran as well, that Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, that all those people who have iman, ittaqullah, adopt taqwa, wa kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. And the easy way to get taqwa is to put yourself in the company of the sadiqeen. The sadiqeen, those who are truer than us in the relationship with Allah and in the relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. So when a person puts themselves in the company of the salihin and the sadiqeen and the righteous and the pious, then because of this sohbah, one will be blessed with this ni'mat of kalama at the time of death. There's a beautiful story, a true story, that once as a Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah, he said that there's this one couplet in the Masnavi of Maulana Rum rahmatullah, which he said that I wasn't able to understand. And that couplet said, this was in Farsi Persian, that Yak Zamana Sohbate Ba Awliya Behtar Ast Sad Sala Ta'ate Bereya. That spending one moment in the sohbat of the people of Allah, the Awliya, is better than 100 years of Bereya Ibadat. 100 years of sincere worship. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah, he said that when I read this I had this question in my mind. I thought that sometimes these poets, they exaggerate, right? In poetry, people tend to exaggerate, and he thought that perhaps even in this instance, Maulana Rum rahmatullah, he sort of got carried away, and in that emotion, in that feeling, he sort of mentioned something which factually may not be true, right? That spending one lamha in the sohbat of the people of Allah is better than 100 years of bereya ibadat, sincere ibadat. And what he was thinking is, was that if it was said that one moment of sohbat-e awliya is better than 100 years of ibadah, then it would be very easy to understand this couplet, because then you could say that those 100 years may not be bereya, they might be full of hypocrisy or reya or ostentation or show off, and then the couplet would make sense. But the couplet said bereya ibadat, it's better than 100 years of sincere ibadat. This was the point which he wasn't able to understand. So then as Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah, he came to his own sheikh, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah, and said to him that, Hazrat, I think that Maulana Rum rahmatullah, he got carried away in this couplet. So Hazrat said that, okay, recite this couplet to me. And he recited that. And then Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah said that, if you give me permission, I'd like to make one change in this. And he said that the way I would want to recite this as follows: Yak zamana sohbate ba awliya, that spending one moment in the company of the people of Allah, behtar ast lak sala ta'ate bereya, it's better than 100,000 years of sincere ibadat. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi rahmatullah, he said that, Hazrat, I wasn't able to understand 100 years, and you are saying 100,000 years. So then Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali explained the masala. He said that, tell me, if there is a person who did sincere ibadat for 1 year, can that person be sure that he will die in a state of iman? Is there any guarantee? There's no guarantee, right? The example of shaitan is before us. He did thousands of years of ibadat, but what was his ending? He was rejected. La'nati ila yawmiddin. The example of Bal'am Ba'ur. He did ibadat for 300 years. And what was his ending? He was thrown away, rejected, dejected. So many years of ibadah, but there is no guarantee about the ending, whether the ending would be good or not. So he said then, this means that if a person does 100,000 years of ibadat, there is no guarantee about a good ending. And then he said that spending company in the putting yourself in the company of the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one amal on which the Prophet gave us a guarantee. And Mufti Mohammad Shafi rahmatullah asked how. So he replied that there is a hadith in which the Prophet said that al julasa'uhum la yashqa jalisuhum, that these people of Allah, whoever puts themselves in their company, that person will never be shaki. Shaki refers to, comes from shakawat. Shaki means that person who will have a bad ending. Yani someone who will die in a state of unbelief. And the Prophet is saying, la yashqa jalisuhum. That person who puts themselves in the company of the Ahlullah, that person will not be shaki. Means that the Prophet is giving a glad tiding that this person will die in a state of iman, will not be shaki, will be sa'id, sa'adat. So putting yourself for some time in the company of the Ahlullah, a person can get this ni'mat that their injam, their guarantee, the ending will be something which is good. Their ending will be a good ending. And this is the reason why in another hadith the Prophet ﷺ said that those two people who love each other for the sake of deen, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hum mutahabuna fiyya, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Those people, those two individuals who loved each other for the sake of Allah, for the sake of deen, then those people will be shaded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's arsh on the day of Qiyamah. So this sohbat of Ahlullah becomes a means through which we can protect our iman. I think in one of these talks, I mentioned the story about Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh, right? He had written this book where he collected 100 dalail of proof for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when his time came to leave this world, Shaitan came to him and said that, Imam Razi, what's your dalil for Tawheed? And Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh gave one dalil, and Shaitan broke that dalil. Then Imam Razi gave a second dalil, and again Shaitan broke that dalil. Eventually, all of his 100 dalil were broken by Shaitan. And then Shaitan started taunting Imam Razi rahmatullah alayh that you couldn't defend this one akidah of Tawheed. How will you be able to defend your other akaid that you have in deen? And Imam Razi rahmatullah was truly worried, parishan, hairan. But he had a taluk with the Ahlullah, with the person of Allah, his own Shaykh by the name of Hazrat Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullah. And his Shaykh was far away, many miles away in his own masjid making wudu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up the mamla of Imam Razi before him. That this is the final moments of his life and this is what Shaitan has done to him. And he doesn't have a reply. So Hazrat Shaykh Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullah alayh, he came in a halat-e jalal. He was making wudu, had some water in his hand. He threw the water on the wall and said these words that, O Razi, why don't you say to Shaitan that I believe in Allah without any dalil? I believe in Allah without any dalil, without any proof. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through Allah ta'ala in his own qudrat, carried those words to the ears of Imam Razi. And Imam Razi heard those words and he immediately said those words to Shaitan that, oh Shaitan, get out of here. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any dalil. He said those words and then recited the kalam and then passed away. So having this taluk with the Ahlullah, it becomes a means to protect our iman in that stage when a person is leaving this world. Number six, the sixth amal through which a person can get this ni'mat is to do izhar, is to express our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why is this important? Because that person who tries to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, tries to increase in their muhabbat for Allah, tries to strike a friendship with Allah, then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will never make that person stand in the row of his enemies. And how is this possible? That a person, he spent his entire life trying to seek out the muhabbat of Allah, trying to do amal, trying to live such a life, and then in the Qiyamah, Allah will make that person stand in the row of his enemies? That's not possible. Means that this person will be in the row, in the column of those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he spent his entire life trying to get this muhabbat of Allah. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, in one of his books, has mentioned, Abjeeb, very beautiful, that if there is a person who in his entire life, if he said the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once with muhabbat, and in the whole life, if there is a person who spent this name, who said this name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, and he said this name once with muhabbat, then this name one day will be a source of emancipating that individual from Jahannam, from the fire of Jahannam. Any in the entire life, if a person said this name with muhabbat, they said this word Allah with muhabbat, he says that this word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so blessed, so beautiful, that kabhi na kabhi, right? Kabhi na kabhi, this name will be able to save that person from the fire of Jahannam. So we should also try to express our muhabbat for Allah, praying salah, keeping fast, doing tilawat, doing good deeds, right? Trying to do as much as we can. And inshallah, if we stay away from sins and lead a life of obedience, then in akhirah, and when the time comes for us to leave this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat will be upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us this kalima. Then number seven is to leave sin out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one thing is that a person leaves sin because of embarrassment, because people will find out, because of punishment. Right? No. When a person leaves sin, only the niyat, their intention is that they're doing it out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So about this, there is a hadith that if there is a young man and a woman invites him to sin, to an illicit relation, and the hadith, the words are that the woman, she is Zata Mansabin Wal Jamali, a woman of nobility, high ranking, and plus also extremely pretty and beautiful. So she's inviting this young man to commit this sin, and in reply, this young man says, Inni Akhafullah, that I fear Allah. So because of this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that individual the shade of his arsh on the day of Qiyamah. And in the same way, if a man invites a woman to this sin, and she says that Inni akhafullah, that I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so she will also be given the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. So to leave sin because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again a very big amal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran has promised Jannat because of this amal. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in Quran, Wa amma man khafa maqama rabbihi, that whoever feared the maqam of his Lord, feared the rank, the stature, the position of his Lord, standing before his Lord, wa nahan nafsa anil hawa, and they subdued their desires, they went against their nafs, they went against the unlawful, impermissible desires of their nafs, then what is the result, what is the outcome? Fa innal jannata hiya al ma'wa. Then that person will be given an abode in Jannah, will be made to enter into Jannah and will live in Jannah forever. So whoever leaves a sin out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for that person to die in a state of Iman. Then number eight, the eighth way through which a person can easily get this ni'mat of dying in a state of Iman is that when you listen to Adhan, after listening to Adhan, to recite the Masnoon Dua. So there is a particular sunnat way that a person, they give a reply to that Adhan. So whatever the Muazzin is saying, you also repeat that. And then when the Adhan is completed, then there is a Masnoon Dua that we should make. And the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever makes this Dua, this is in Sahih Bukhari Sharif, that whoever recites this Masnoon Dua after listening to Adhan, then Hallat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah, then my shafa'at, my intercession, becomes halal for that person on the day of Qiyamah. Yani this Dua that we recite after listening to Adhan, in return for this, on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ will do our shafa'at. He's saying, I will do your shafa'at. I will intercede on your behalf on that day. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah Alayh, in many of his bayanat, he would say this, that when there is a person who would be engaged, busy with their task, busy with their work, and it's time for azan, and that person stops his work, he listens to the azan and then gives reply to the azan, and then after azan recites the Masnoon Dua, he used to say that in my experience I've seen that because of this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that person the tawfiq to recite the kalma at the time of his death. So this is a very big ni'mat. Zubaida Khatun, some of you may have heard about her name before. She was a very pious woman and she built this stream, this river Zubaida, which was very beneficial for the people at that time. When she passed away, someone saw her in a dream and asked her that Zubaida, what happened? And she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fazl and rahmat was upon me and Allah forgave me. So someone said that, no, you had to be forgiven because you did such amazing tasks and righteous tasks and you led a life of piety. You provided so much benefit and nafa to people. So because of this amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have forgiven you. So she replied that, no, I wasn't forgiven. I wasn't forgiven because of this amal. I was forgiven because of one amal which I didn't even remember. He asked, which amal was it? She said that once I was hungry and I was eating food and I broke this morsel, this nivala, roti, and I was about to put the roti in my mouth. And right at that time, I heard the azan, Allahu Akbar. And she says that I felt that the dupatta, my head covering, was not properly covering my head. Right? Sometimes sort of it drips by and slips by. So she says that I felt that this is slightly khilaf, the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I kept that morsel, that nivala, back on my plate. I fixed my head covering. And then I picked up that lukma and I ate, that the nivala and I ate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action of mine, that you honored my name. You did ta'zeem of my name. And in return of this, for this one amal, I will protect you from the azab of Jahannam. So this is a very, it's not a small thing, right? So whoever recites the dua for adhan, that person will be blessed with the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, the shafaat of the Prophet ﷺ, which means that person will die in a state of iman, will be raised up in a state of iman. Then the second last amal, number 9, is to recite kalma in abundance. Because, you know, whatever a person does in abundance throughout their life, it becomes easy for you to do that amal at the time of death as well, right? Many times, you know, people who are so preoccupied with their dunya, even at the time of their death, they're thinking about the dunya, right? On the other hand, those who would have a habit of reciting La ilaha illallah and that a wird, or they would do the zikr frequently, abundantly, then in akhirah, when the time comes for them to leave this world at the time of death, it will become easier for them to recite the kalama. Easier for them, right? Once we know of a person who had a habit of reciting the kalama. And he had to go to an operation theater for some procedure. And when he was given anesthesia, he was made unconscious. Even in that state of being unconscious, he was reciting the kalma. And then the operation lasted for about 45 minutes, 1 hour. And he continued to recite the kalma. And the kalma in a loud voice. So we should also try to make this a habit. We are walking, we are driving, we are traveling. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. It's something which we can do easily. Very easy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give tawfiq that inshallah, if we make this our habit, then at the time of death, the person will be blessed with this ni'mat. This is also the Prophet ﷺ, he did talqeen, that those who are close to death, you should recite the kalima for them, right? Say La ilaha illallah so that they can remember and they can also begin to recite this kalima. Hazrat Abu Zur'a radiallahu ta'ala an was a very big muhaddis in our ummah. In the books it's mentioned that when his time came to leave this world, so he had many students. And the students, they came and they were trying to do talqeen to their teacher. Talqeen means that they were reciting the kalama before their teacher. They wanted to do talqeen, but they were thinking of a strategy that how can we do talqeen? And they felt that, you know, that hadith mubarakah in which the Prophet ﷺ has given us instructions to do talqeen, let's recite that hadith mubarakah before our teacher. We'll recite that hadith mubarakah and automatically we will be telling our sabak and the teacher would understand that we are doing talqeen. So they started to recite, the students, they started reciting that hadith in front of their teacher. Anfula, anfula, anfula. When they took the name of two or three narrators, so Hazrat Abu Zur'a radiallahu ta'ala an, he also remembered that they're reciting that particular hadith. So he then picked it up and now he himself continued the narration. That anfula, anfula, anfula. And then he reached the matan, the text of that hadith, and he recited, man kana akhiru kalamuhu, that whoever, that person whose last kalam is, la ilaha illallah. He said those words and then he passed away. And he dakhal al jannah, he practically demonstrated, right? Man kana akhiru kalamahu la ilaha illallah dakhal al jannah. That's the hadith. But he practically demonstrated, he said la ilaha illallah and then he passed away. So there are such people in our ummah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them such a beautiful ending. That they recited the kalma and then they passed away. And the tenth and the final thing, because of which a person can get tawfiq to recite the kalima, is that we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah grant me a good ending. And there are several duas that we can recite. I'll mention three of them. One is a dua that comes in a hadith in Mubarakah. Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'dal maut. We did this in one of the previous sessions as well. Oh Allah, grant me barakah in my maut. Barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'dal maut. So in hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever has a habit of reciting this dua 25 times every day, you can think 5 times after every salah, it's 25 times. 25 times every day, that person will be given the rank of a shaheed, even if that person dies on their bed. This is tremendous. This is immense. This is incredible, right? That just this dua, anyone who recites this, has a habit of reciting this 25 times, Allah will bless that person with this rutbah of a shaheed. And there's a very personal story about this hadith that I want to share with you. I think I haven't shared before. I haven't shared this with anyone before. I heard this hadith from one of my teachers, a sheikh who passed away in Pakistan. And in that talk, he was mentioning, he mentioned two things, two nasihat, right? Two like parting advice. And one of his wasiyat was this, that addressing the audience and saying that I'm leaving behind this one nasihat to you, that make this a habit, recite this dua 25 times every day. Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'dal maut. And have a habit of saying this 5 times after every salah so that you can complete the 25 figure. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a very sweet ending, a beautiful ending, a smiling ending. And in the last year, he passed away, rahmatullah alayh, and I had a chance to look when the kafan was given and the ghusl was given. Then someone took a photo. Jo aakhri didar hota hai na. So someone took a photo, and subhanallah, there was a big smile from ear to ear on his face. Big smile, right, from ear to ear. And I still have that picture sort of imprinted in my mind, right? That this is how this hadith became true, right? Allahumma barik lana fil maut wa fima ba'dal maut. That he passed away in a state where he had a smile on his face. And there's a hadith which comes that the smile comes because, you know, there are some people who leave this world in such a state that they are smiling at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is smiling at them. So ever since that, the passing away of our teacher, you know, this hadith and this dua has been very special to me. That because I practically, you know, learned this hadith from him, and then I actually practically saw, right, subhanAllah, the way he passed away with his smile on his face. So if we can also make this our habit, then inshallah we can hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also bless us with a sweet and a smiling ending. In addition to this, there is also a Qur'ani dua, which I'll just mention and then we'll end. We started a bit late today, so apologies for that. Inshallah, we're going to try to start a bit on time next time. This Quranic dua is Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da iz hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da iz hadaytana. That, oh Allah, don't turn my heart away after giving me hidayat. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. And Allah, give me out of your rahmat. Give me out of your rahmat. So we also make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to live a life of Iman, a life of Islam, a life of Ihsan. And in the last moments of our life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ni'mat of Iman, smiling, a beautiful way to leave this world in such a state that Allah, you are razi with us and we are razi with you. Allah, you are smiling at us and we are smiling back at you. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان ربي العلى الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.